I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the Brooklyn Nets by a score of 116-102 at the Barclays Center on Tuesday night. There's a bit of a rivalry between the Raptors and the Nets. I know, look, the Nets are really trash this year, despite the fact that they don't have any incentive to be trash. It's actually impressive how trash they are, but you know, there is a bit of bad blood between the two teams. And the Nets, you know, just like the last time the Nets played the Raptors in Brooklyn, the game that went to overtime, the game in which Kyle Lowry broke his ass in four, you know, the Nets play the Raptors hard. And even though the final scoreline, you know, it looks like a blowout, which is kind of what you would expect between the Raptors and the Nets, this was anything but a blowout. Like, it was a very contentious game. The Nets went up double digits in the first half, and the Raptors had to find a way to win the game. And, of course, they ultimately did win the game. The Raptors have won 16 of the last 17 games, that one loss being the Milwaukee game. And they have now extended their current win streak to 9 games. But, yeah, it was a fun game, and oddly enough, a very satisfying result to get out of a team like Brooklyn. First off, the story of this game pretty much was a chess match, right? The Nets went super small to, like, play this game. Their center was a small forward in Dante Cunningham, who was, like, 6'8" and, like, 220 pounds. Their power forward was Damari Carroll, an old face there. And then a bunch of wings. And, like, you know, it wasn't even, like, big, strong, powerful wings. Like, these are all skinny dudes. Spencer Dinwiddie might be 6'6", but he's skinny. D'Angelo Russell is 6'5", but he's skinny. Alan Crabb is 6'7", but he's skinny. So the Nets went with a super small lineup, and the goal there for them was just to try to exploit the Raptors on three-point shots and try to outplay them, because the Raptors had Ibaka and Valanciunas in the starting lineup. And, you know, to some extent, it really did work, especially in the case of D'Angelo Russell, who started this game shooting 7 of 7 from deep with another foul that turned into a free throw. So he had 24 points in the first 7 minutes with 7 three-pointers. It was insane. The Raptors ultimately gave up 40 points in the first quarter, but the Raptors stayed in it. They scored 32 themselves. But that deficit grew to 10 points in the second quarter. But ultimately, the reason why Russell was going off is a couple of reasons. One, the Raptors starters are slow starters, and, you know, they got kind of jumped on today. Two, the Raptors kept switching, which was strange. Raptors, you know, well, the fact that the Raptors switched is not necessarily strange, but it was just strange that the Raptors switched against this team, because that left a lot of one-on-one situations where Russell would pull up over a guy like Ibaka, pull up over a guy like Valanciunas. And also, three, like, the defense played by Norman Powell in this game, along with Valanciunas as his center, which the two of them together didn't really work, but the defense played by Norman Powell today was just really poor, and Russell is consistently able to get around, open around screens, get middle. It just wasn't looking good. And so Russell goes off early on. The Raptors kind of ride the ship. Of course, it's a bench unit that comes in, steadies things. You know, it looked to be a little bit of a tough night for the bench unit, because the Nets have a really physical team of their own, and they're really athletic off the bench, and, you know, they just get up and down the floor just like the Raptors do. So the Raptors didn't have a physical advantage, and, like, the biggest example of that was, like, Siakam. Like, Siakam is usually able to cross up and go past bigger players, but the Nets had a guy like Hollis Jefferson, who's pretty much a Siakam, in the game to counter that. And so the Raptors weren't able to, you know, get a huge advantage off the bench, but the Raptors pretty much were able to tie this game. The starters came back in. They got blown out again. Raptors go down 10 heading into halftime. Coming out of halftime, the Nets jumped the Raptors again. The starters just did not do well in this game. A couple of jumpers again by Russell to get going. And Dwayne Casey makes a bold call there to yank Powell from the lineup. And he went with Fred VanVleet. And VanVleet was playing Russell really well on the ball in the first half. He didn't get that much time because, you know, Russell's a starter and VanVleet's a bench player. But Casey made the switch early on in the third quarter, about pretty much 4 minutes into the half, which is very early to pull someone like Powell, but, you know, Powell just wasn't getting the job done. Van Vliet comes in, locks down D'Angelo Russell. I feel like Russell only had, like, one basket the rest of the way. It was, like, Russell had the 24 points in 7 minutes and ended up with 32 points tonight. And, you know, obviously 32 points is great, but just I would love to see the individual breakdown numbers of what he was shooting with Van Vliet on him, because Van Vliet was playing some perfect, perfect defense. And, you know, on the other end, it was just pretty much the story of the game was, like, can the Nets generate more open threes against a team like the Raptors, who are way bigger than them, and how the Raptors could respond by playing big ball versus small ball, basically. And, you know, usually in the modern NBA, it's small ball that wins out, but today I thought it was really a case where the Raptors stuck to their guns, played lineups with centers in them instead of downsizing to play with the Nets, and the Raptors won that way, which is, again, very rare. But you got to credit Valanciunas and to a lesser extent Ibaka. I mean, Ibaka was pretty active in the offensive glass, didn't really do too much else, but Ibaka still had 9 points, 9 rebounds, you know, 5 free throws, 3 offensive rebounds. So that's decent for Ibaka, but especially Valanciunas. I mean, that's the guy that the Nets were really targeting on defense. And, you know, Valanciunas, yes, he did concede a couple of threes, but he was also giving it back on the other end offensively. He got a ton of offensive rebounds. The Nets couldn't guard him in one-on-one. He would score pretty much every time. He had a couple times where he would put the ball down and get stripped. But overall, like, 20 shots on one turnover is it's completely fine as a ratio. And Valanciunas is just able to dominate and beat them down low, which, you know, this game ultimately, you know, ended up being close. And, you know, Van Vliet and the bench, they kind of, like, you know, brought the advantage up for a little bit. But it was still pretty much a give-and-go kind of game until midway through the fourth quarter, C.J. Miles randomly snapped. Up until this point, Miles had been really, really poor, and he was playing very sloppy defense to start the fourth quarter. He gave a couple fouls that way. I think the Raptors had like 4 fouls in the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter there. It was just very apparent that they're going to have to play through foul trouble. A lot of that was Miles unable to guard his man, but all of a sudden, C.J. Miles, you know, as is known to do, he is an explosive scorer, and so he scored all 12 of his points within a 2-minute span in the fourth quarter, where he drilled 3 really tough threes, got fouled in another 3, and, you know, that kind of pushed the Raptors ahead by a solid margin. And from then on, it was just a matter of who was going to close the game. Dwayne Casey made a bold call to put Valanciunas in the game. Usually, he does not close with his slowest center against teams that can shoot, but just like in that Rockets game, Valanciunas is giving you so much production, and he was doing so many good things for you that Dwayne Casey was able to trust Valanciunas to provide and come through with for him, and that's what Valanciunas did. I mean, even in the fourth quarter, Valanciunas only had one bucket, but he was instrumental in getting on the glass, you know, both offensive and defensive. And the Nets were forced to foul on him a couple times. And also, you know, outside of that Miles outburst, there was a 3-minute scoring drought. And that was with, you know, Poeltl and Siakam on the floor. The two of them couldn't really unlock the defense. And it was up to Valanciunas to come in and set these huge screens and create mismatches and force the Nets to rotate. And that's how the Raptors are able to get a couple of their points. So overall, the two main decisions that swung this game were Van Vliet and Valanciunas. The two of them together, you know, came to decide the game. Van Vliet was an absurd plus 31 in this game. He gets my first star. Van Vliet, 15 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 3 threes from the field, 4 assists, 2 steals. But again, that plus 31 is not a joke. Every time Van Vliet came in the game, he studied the floor. He provided a good presence on both ends of the ball. His on-ball defense against D'Angelo Russell was just incredible. You know, obviously Russell was torching everybody to start, but once Van Vliet came in, you didn't hear much from Russell. And that's a credit to Van Vliet's defense. I mean, we all saw what he did against Chris Paul, and, you know, he just did the same thing, except to a lesser player. But, you know, Van Vliet, I just can't say enough about the guy, man. 28 minutes. He played 18 the last 20 minutes of the game. He only got a 2-minute breather. Dwayne Casey had to get creative with that, and the Raptors couldn't really score in that stretch. But seriously, every time Van Vliet came in the game, the Raptors were going to run. And that's just how it is with him. He's our most dependable player down the stretch, which is kind of crazy to say about. But, you know, that's how it is with Van Vliet. Second star goes to Valanciunas, 26 points, 14 rebounds, an assist, a block, only one turnover, 12 of 20 shooting from the field. JV was just a beast in the paint, man. And again, this is the kind of game where JV needs to have 20 shots. He needs to lead the team in shots because he's getting guarded by Dante Cunningham. The Nets are going to have to double team him all the time. And while JV wasn't able to find the open man as much, the Nets weren't really sending extra bodies. And they were just trying to say, well, post-ups are not going to kill us. And, you know, to some extent, that's true. I mean, Valanciunas was effective in post-up, but they didn't really go to the post-up as much. But just Valanciunas rolling to the basket and catching the ball, good hands to catch the ball in traffic, and good hands to finish. That was one of the big deciding factors in this game. That and the fact that Valanciunas was so active on the offensive glass. Like, that's a classic case of how playing big can sometimes beat playing small. And Valanciunas, if he performs like this against small ball lineups, Dwayne Casey's going to have no issues playing him. Of course, you know, if he doesn't play like this, then it's an issue because he does give up a lot of open threes. But, you know, it is kind of, it is what it is, basically. And the Nets tried to play their strategy. It didn't work. And most of that was because Valanciunas is so brilliant. And then in terms of your third star, I mean, you can go a couple of ways here. I thought Siakam had a nice all-around game. Poeltl was really solid. 8.6 rebounds. But I'll probably give it to DeLon Wright. DeLon was very nice off the bench. Had a couple of impressive driving finishes. Shot 2 of 4 from deep. I liked one sequence where Wright missed an open three. They got the rebound. Wright, like, basically relocated himself and then shot another three, and he hit that one. It's a sign of his confidence of his shooting threes. And, you know, even though I wouldn't consider him much of a shooter because he can't really hit off the dribble like most point guards can nowadays, Wright has been quietly shooting 43% from deep from November onwards this season on about 2 attempts per game. And it's working for him. He's really hitting those shots. And so the only thing with Wright, the knock with him, is just that he sometimes gets a little bit wild and has turnovers. Like, he had a turnover in the fourth quarter where he drove into the paint and tried to force feed Poeltl, and it got broken up. But overall, Wright had a nice game, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. So I'm going to give him the third star there. But it's a fun game. It was a very satisfying game, really. Like, you don't really expect beating the Nets in a game, what, game 68 of the season. You don't really expect it, but, you know, the Nets gave it a good effort, and the Raptors rose to the challenge, as they always do. Again, credit to Dwayne Casey for making some of the coaching decisions he made. He really thought his way through this game, and it was really a nice to watch the chess match unfold between him and Atkinson. Ultimately, you know, Casey made the right call. It was also really satisfying from a petty standpoint to see Damari Carroll miss a wide-open three late in the game. You know, It's just happened to the Raptors so many times. And look, it's not just pure pettiness, okay? It was also Damari Carroll was really trying to, like, shove people, like, bump into people, all sorts of weird stuff, like swiping at people, hard fouls. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you salty about? Like, yeah, you got traded. The reason you got traded was because you didn't perform. Like, never has Damari Carroll even given us one performance like what CJ Miles has done tonight, where 12 points in 2 minutes, where he just explodes and he carries the scoring for the Raptors for a while when the Raptors really need it. That never once happened with Damari in 2 years. And CJ's given that to us like 10 times this season. So, and you're not even as good as CJ Miles. Like, what are you salty about? But it was just satisfying to watch. There was also, you know, on the flip side of that, Damari had one possession in the first half where he just drove by Serge Ibaka and got to the rim and scored a layup, and that made me so mad. Like, Serge, bro, I know you just have to step up here, man. You just have to. But, yeah, ultimately the Raptors got the win. And I think this is the first time we played against Damari Carroll since he got traded. Look, I don't think we should boo this man, whatever, but if he's going to act salty like that, then it's going to be really enjoyable to see it when he misses a key three, you know? No longer will Matt Devlin be screaming, they need this, and for him to not deliver. So, in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award for the opposing team that came up big, you know what? It's weird to give it to him, but I have to. Hollis Jefferson was really active and causing a lot of problems, it felt like, for the Nets. He had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block on 7-11 shooting from the field, 5-6 on the free throw line, all in 27 minutes, which sounds great, except that he was a minus 27, which I don't quite understand. I don't think he was that bad defensively. I think he was actually quite good, and he was definitely good offensively. So I'm just going to chalk it up to Hollis Jefferson for having the bad luck of having to play against Van Vliet. But, yeah, Hollis Jefferson was a problem. He was physically very imposing. I think he kind of creates a lot of contact. Like, he's like a weird mini guard version of Julius Randle. They kind of have similar games that way. But I don't know. I was impressed by Hollis Jefferson. It is what it is. He had a nice night, despite the plus minus. So that does it for the game. Thank you to everyone for listening. Check out 10 Things as always. Check out the highlights of this game, really. It was a fun game to watch. And smiles all around, man. The Raptors have won 9 in a row now. Won 16 of 17. If you want to extend the back 3 more games, the Raptors have won 18 of 20. And the 2 games that they lost were both by narrow margins. I think both in overtime, right? Like the Washington game and then also the Bucks game. So the Raptors are on a hell of a roll right now, man. And I know there's still a lot of discussion about, you know, respect from the national media and this and that, and we're almost going out of our way to look for slights now just to fuel the underdog narrative. And of course it's justified, you know, like Raptors don't get their fair share of coverage or whatever, but I mean, shit, you're kind of missing the bigger picture, man. I mean, you just got to enjoy each one of these wins. Like, this is the best team in franchise history. They're playing the best basketball in franchise history, and it'll be a shame to you know, look back on this time and think, man, I got really hung up on what, you know, Colin Coward was saying on some random podcast about whether the Raptors can beat LeBron or not. Like, who cares, man? Who cares what Paul Pierce is saying? Like, watch the games for yourself. Like, the Raptors have won 18 of 20. They are on a 9-game winning streak. They beat Houston. They beat Boston. They beat Cleveland. Like, lots of good things to look for in this season. And the Raptors keep taking care of business. And it's great to see. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and I'll be back Thursday to recap the next game.